What next? Well, I took over this job just under 2 years ago, and the first thing somebody who takes over does is institutes a new regime and preferably a new name for the program. So, and also you have to sort of try and work out where you're going and what you're doing. So the new name of the program is Cosmic Vision, and it's the New Horizons program because the old program was called Horizons. But what is different? Well, I think we've come to a point where Europe has grown up in the space game, and that's perhaps what I want to tell you about. I've got pictures of two spacecraft here. You have to forgive me, but I find spacecraft attractive. I realize there's no good reason for that, but up on the top left-hand corner, we've got one called Integral, which was the first spacecraft I was lucky enough to launch, in fact, last October, from Baikonur in Kazakhstan. It's a joint European-Russian spacecraft. The first time we've had, so to speak, a substantive cooperation with the Russians. That's significant. And then down here, we've got a spacecraft that's causing me a lot of headaches at the moment, the Rosetta spacecraft, which is due to go to, I would have said a few months ago, due to go to Comet Virtanen, but we had to cancel the launch in January because of nothing wrong with the spacecraft, but due to dissatisfactions with the state of the Ariane rocket. That's causing a lot of political upheaval in Europe at the moment. The Ariane rocket is, when it's working, a tremendous European achievement. When it's not working, there's bloody French again. So, anyhow, I can say that sort of thing in Australia. I live in Paris. You can imagine I'm just letting my hair down a bit now. Okay. Now, these two spacecraft are very interesting because they more or less have no American involvement, and it is sort of our growing up as Europeans. And in fact, both spacecraft represent things the Americans didn't want to do. In both cases, 10 or more years ago, more like 15 years ago, we started talking about these missions to the Americans with the hope that they would pay a substantive part of the mission. In fact, they didn't. In fact, they tried to stop Integral by pulling out. They were due to provide half of it, and they pulled out very suddenly with the intention that we should do something else. Integral is to look at gamma rays. Gamma rays are even more high energy than X-rays. They come from, they're emitted by the most intense events in the universe. At the same time, as you would imagine, in the process of making new nuclei, making heavier elements, also gamma rays are involved. So in fact, looking at gamma ray science allows you not only to see the most destructive things in the universe, you can also see the construction of atoms in the universe. We did it. We did it by two things, wanting to do it, and secondly, finding somebody else to cooperate with. The fact that Integral is with the Russians is because we could not do it with the Americans, and we damn well wanted to do it. We decided to go it alone, so to speak, and similarly with Rosetta. The Americans told us they had their own priorities, and they didn't like the way we were going to do it. As a result, they never did do their own priorities for cometary science, and we had to do this on our own. I think it's not such a bad thing. My relationship with the U.S. is, with NASA, for instance, is very good, I hope. And it's sort of, my feeling is that we're a bit like a big brother, little brother relationship. Once in a while, little brother has to strike out and do something on their own. It should be, oh, there we go. This shows you what Rosetta wanted to do, which the Americans didn't want to do. We wanted to go out to a comet. That's what a comet looks like when you're close to it. Or our best guess, we've been to one already with Giotto, of course, 20 years ago. But this time we're going to drop something onto the surface of the comet and, so to speak, scratch and sniff it to find out what it's made of. At the same time, we're going to go and orbit around the comet. Orbiting around a comet is a tricky job because there isn't much gravity with a comet. It's a tremendous technical challenge. On the other hand, I've got to tell you, this is the ultimate cometary mission. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to go to a comet? Well, in a sense, I think you've got to regard comets as being there before planets were. It's where the solar system, so to speak, came from, or important parts of you and me came from. Comets are pristine, or potentially pristine, material from the beginning of time. And so I think you can see it's a grand challenge and something we really want to do. Well, at the moment, I'm now still negotiating the launch of this damn thing and trying to get the French to do what I would like to do in the launcher field. Anyhow, let me show you about a picture to show you something about Integral also. This is just for fun, really. It's a black hole with matter falling into a black hole, a star or something. And this is the gamma ray burst, the brightest thing in the sky. We're detecting them now with Integral regularly, and interestingly, they're occurring in our galaxy, so they're very intense and very much a puzzle. So, with New Norcia, we've taken a further step to independence, and you'll see why we had to take it now when I tell you what the expanding horizons are we've got. First, the solar system. Next year, we'll have a probe arriving at Saturn, carried by an American spacecraft called Cassini. It's called Huygens. And you see an artist's impression there of it landing, not on Saturn, you can see, but on something else. It's going, in fact, to the moon Titan. Why would you go to the moon Titan when you could go to Saturn? I mean, Saturn's the planet with the rings. It's got lovely big atmosphere, all sorts of exotic colors. Why go to Titan? You're supposed to answer the question.
You can land on it.
You can land on it, that's true. Very good. Why Titan and not Mimas or Encephalus or any of the other moons of Saturn? Because it's got an atmosphere. It's got an atmosphere, actually not so different from the atmosphere in this room. One particularly important ingredient missing, no oxygen, but otherwise containing carbon, nitrogen, hydrogen, the things that you have in the Earth's environment, in the Earth's atmosphere, and in fact an atmospheric pressure at the surface just 1.5 times the atmospheric pressure at the surface of the Earth, right here. In fact, if you look back in history, 4.5 billion years, so to speak, as the Earth formed, then the atmosphere of the Earth was very like the atmosphere at Titan. It's also quite an adventure. We're, in a sense, because of that, going back to the beginning of the solar system in a different way, or the beginning of the Earth, going back to an atmosphere that we call prebiotic, because it's before the oxygen came and before the conditions for life emerged, so prebiotic. But at the same time, it's a mystery to us. We don't even know what the surface of Titan is like, because when you get compounds made up of nitrogen, hydrogen, and carbon in atmospheres, they tend to give you rather nasty smogs. I imagine in Melbourne you get smog from time to time, and in fact Titan's atmosphere is covered with smog, and we don't see the surface. We don't know, in fact, whether the surface is solid or whether, in fact, we're going to land splashdown in a methane sea. It won't be a water sea, no oxygen, but possibly methane lakes will be there. And we've, in fact, built the probe to splash down or to crash down. We don't know which. We'll find out, I hope, quite soon. That left the Earth in 1997, and it's a project Cassini-Huygens, the American-European project, started working on it in 1980. So it took 17 years before we got it launched, and we are still waiting for it to arrive in the Saturnian system. It went past Jupiter 2 years ago, and in fact it'll arrive at Saturn next year, towards the end of, to middle of next year. Okay, Smart One, going to the moon. I'll say a little more about Smart One. The moon, where the Americans were playing golf 30 years ago. Why should anyone want to go to the moon? Well, almost because the Americans played golf on it, not enough science was done. People almost decided, because people had walked around on the moon, that we knew everything there was to know about the moon. There is actually still a great deal we don't know. We're going to do a global survey of the moon, but it's actually not the reason we're going. I'll tell you more about it. In a couple of months' time, God willing, I'll launch Mars Express and carrying a lander, Beagle 2, largely British lander, to Mars, the first European mission to Mars. And Beagle 2 is focused on looking for the kind of organic material. It's another scratch and sniff activity of scratch, sniff, and cook, actually, if you precisely what you do, looking for what could be the evidence of life on the surface of Mars. Mars Express orbits Mars, not only to look at where Beagle, look from a distance where Beagle has landed, but also to survey Mars. One very interesting phenomenon is the fact that we'll be the first mission that can really effectively look under the surface of Mars. We've got a radar on board, and the radar is designed to actually look under the surface of Mars for water, and we're going to seek water on Mars. That made the Americans nervous that we might discover something, so you will have noticed that they've been announcing they think they've got evidence of subterranean water on Mars. So they're just covering their options, let's say. We'll find out for sure. We'll say if the Americans got it right. Rosetta, I've already talked about. I'll say no more about that. BepiColombo is actually the reason we're doing Smart One to the moon. BepiColombo is going to go to Mercury, a planet that hasn't been visited for best part of 30 years. We're going to launch three spacecraft to Mercury, one of which will be built by the Japanese. And that's another new axis of Europe and Japan working together. At the moment, we're negotiating with the Russians whether they will join in too. So we'll have a European, Japanese, American mission to Mercury, a place that's very hard to get to, and I'll describe how we're going to do it in a minute. Solar Orbiter is going back to the Sun. About a decade from now, we'll build and fly Solar Orbiter, probably in conjunction with the Americans. That goes to the orbit of Mercury, but looks at the Sun and then climbs out of the ecliptic plane to look again at the high latitude parts of the Sun. It's part of an ongoing program of trying to understand our local star, and in particular to understand the effects of changes in our local solar activity on the Earth. Lastly, Venus Express, which is surely the cheapest mission to a planet ever done. Those of you who follow space activity will know Venus Express, whether it was going to live or die, was the topic of the moment all last year, and it finally lived, much to my glee. It's a direct follow-on from Mars Express, and you can see the damn thing looks almost the same. That's the secret of doing things cheaply. Build two. It's getting two for the price of one. Well, not quite. Two for the price of one and a half. Anyhow, that will be launched 2005. So if you look there, you'll see why we needed a deep space antenna. We're going just about everywhere you can go without using nuclear power sources, RTGs. If you go to the distant solar system, you have to have a new kind of power source, which only the Russians and the Americans have. And in fact, in Europe, it's controversial whether we'd be allowed to build them. What we're doing is everything we use for power, solar panels, that's what these things that look like wings are, sticking off. And in fact, we've been driven to build the best solar panels in the world because we don't have access to radioisotope thermal generators like the Russians and the Americans have. And it's a green issue for Europe whether we should develop such things. And it limits our capability to go to the outer solar system. But boy, it's meaning we've got the inner solar system fairly well nailed. There you are, Titan, Saturn, Moon, Mars, Venus, Sun, Mercury, and comets, and in fact also asteroids.